Hello, welcome to the Village Online. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. My name's Travis, and I'm one of the pastors here at the Village. I want to let you know about a couple things coming up that I'm really excited about. Number one, in two weeks on April 17th, it's Easter weekend, April 16th and 17th. We're going to have four services in person at our new building right here. It'll be our first time to celebrate Easter in our new space. And so I want to invite you, if you're in the area, to be here for one of those services. We're having one Saturday night, the 16th at 6:30. And then Sunday morning, three services at 8, 9:30, and 11. And we'll be right here online at our normal time as well for our online Easter service. If you're not able to join us in person, we'd love to have you here for that. The second thing that I just want to make sure you know about is that we're in this season where we're focusing on our Easter offering initiative, and it's our partnership with Water 4, specifically in Waterloo, Sierra Leone. So we've got a partnership with Water 4 in Waterloo, Sierra Leone, and we're trying to provide access to clean drinking water to that entire region in that partnership. And so we've set a goal of $35,000 to raise for our Easter offering. 100% of everything given to that Easter offering this year will go to that community and that organization. And so if you go right now to thevillagenashville.com/give, there's a drop-down menu. You can just give your regular offering online, but you can also choose Water 4. And 100% of everything given to that will go toward this initiative, which will provide an additional set of a pipe water system. We'll be adding on to what we did last year, and it'll create some capacity for us to continue to add on in subsequent years as well. So I want to encourage you to do that. Hey, let's pray together. God, thank you for who you are. God, we're here, and we're here from a lot of different places. We are literally in different places around the community, around the country, even around the globe as we gather here. God, no matter where we're sitting right now, God, we would say we want you here. So I pray, God, that you would speak to each and every one of us a message that we need to hear. Speak into our hearts, speak into our lives, speak into our homes. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in week five, I believe, of a series we've been calling Questions That Jesus Asks Us. And if you read through the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus is asked something like 150 questions, and he only directly answers three of the questions that he's asked, which, you know, I want to say thank you so much for your helpfulness with that, Jesus. But he asks over 300 questions of his followers and the people around him. And every question that he asks 2,000 years ago that we read about in the Gospels is a question that he's also asking us today. So we've been looking at some of these primary questions that Jesus asks us, and we're going to continue on in that today. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. So if you've got your Bible with you, if you've got an app at home, you can turn to Luke chapter 6. And I just kind of want to set the scene for what's happening in Luke chapter 6. At the beginning of Luke chapter 6, it says that Jesus goes up on a mountainside and he spends the night praying to God. And then when he comes down off of the mountain that next morning, that's when he chooses his 12 disciples. So he spends the night on the mountain, he comes down, he chooses the 12 disciples, he takes them down off of the mountain onto this flat area, Luke says, and he gives what's known to scholars today as the Sermon on the Plain. And it's one of the most extended series of teachings or sections of teaching from Jesus in the New Testament. In the Sermon on the Plain, he essentially gives them discipleship 101. He calls his disciples, he gathers them together, he gathers a crowd together, and he essentially begins to teach them a discipleship 101 class. He says, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, this is what it means. And he starts by saying things like, if you're poor, you're going to inherit a kingdom. Blessed are you who are poor. You'll inherit the kingdom of God. He says, if you hunger in my kingdom, you'll be satisfied. He says, if you weep, when you weep, don't worry. You'll laugh. There will be a time for you to laugh again. He says, when people hate you, when people insult you, when they reject you, when they exclude you, he says, I want you to rejoice in that day because you've been included and great is your reward in heaven. He goes on and he says, he teaches about love. And he says, you've heard it said that you should love your friends. I also want you to love your enemies. I want you to love your enemies. He says to them, do to others what you would have them do to you. It's the golden rule. He goes on and he talks about judging other people. And again, he's just trying to teach about what it means to be his follower. It's discipleship 101. He says, hey, don't judge. Don't judge other people and you won't be judged. For the measure that you use when you judge other people, that's the measure that will be used when other people judge you. And he says this. He says, can the blind lead the blind? In other words, he says, it's important who you follow. It's important who you listen to. He goes on and he says, we asked this a couple weeks ago. He asked this question, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your neighbor's eye and don't see the plank in your own eye? Don't judge. He talks about a tree and its fruit. And he says, the people who are my disciples, they will have good fruit in their lives. The Apostle Paul talks about this later on in the New Testament. And he talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of discipleship, the good fruit that Jesus is talking about. And Jesus is, he's just painting this beautiful picture of what it looks like to follow him. And he says, when you have a life of discipleship, a life of following me, that will become a life of love. And it'll be a life of joy. And it'll be a life of peace. A life of patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like he paints this beautiful picture of what a life of following him can look like. But then he comes to this part where he asks the question for today. And I can almost envision the crowd. He's gathered this crowd. He's out on the plane. He's teaching discipleship 101. They're so excited. He's like, are you with me? Yeah, the crowd's cheering. Everybody wants this kind of beautiful life that Jesus is describing. It's the most beautiful kind of life imaginable. It's the kind of life that God designed for us to live, right? And so everybody's excited. And then to wrap up the sermon on the plane, Jesus asks this question. He's asking us this today. Here's what he says, Luke 6:46. He says, why do you call me Lord and you do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And then he gives this image. He says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Jesus asks this question. I'll read it one more time. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? In other words, what Jesus is saying, I think, in this moment to the people who have come to be his followers, he's saying this, it's not the thought that counts. It's not the thought that counts. So the people who would have been hearing Jesus tell this story, they would have understood this picture that he was painting because it was commonplace in his day and age. And so in this part of the world, it's still like this to this day, but during the time of Jesus, there were sections all throughout the countryside that in the summer months, when it was really dry, they were bone dry. And so it could be that a man would go out and look for a place to build a house, and he would go to a place and it would look like a really good place to build a house. It would be dry. There might be some shade. It might be in a little gully, so there's some protection from the heat and the elements. And he'd build that house in the spring or in the summer on this arid, dry place. But what would happen, and everybody listening, they would have known a story like this. In September, when the winter rains would begin to come and the wet season would begin to come, that area, that land that was once bone dry, would become a raging river during the winter months. And if someone built their house in that spot that looked good, it looked good to them in the moment, but if they built their house in that spot and they didn't build it on a foundation of rock, when the rains come, when the storms came, when the rivers rose, when the waters were raging, it would wash that house away. That's the image that Jesus is painting in this instance. And so Jesus is talking about two different kinds of builders. He's talking about a foolish builder and a wise builder. And there are two things about the foolish builder that I think are important to point out. Number one, the foolish builder avoids the work that's necessary to build the house on a solid foundation, right? You could go out, you could build your house on the sand and not have to do any groundwork whatsoever. Or you could go out and build your house on the rock and you might have to dig a little bit and you might have to excavate and you might have to chisel some of that rock away. And it would take a lot more work to put your house on the foundation of rock rather than to build on the foundation of sand. But what Jesus is saying is sometimes the easiest thing isn't the best thing in life. Right? The foolish builder does what's easy, but the easy thing isn't always the best thing in life. The second thing about the foolish builder is that the foolish builder is short-sighted, right? The foolish builder goes to a site that looks good right now. It looks great right now, but it doesn't look good 6 months from now. When the waters rise, when the storms come, when the floods come, when the water's raging, it doesn't look good. There's a lot of things in life like that, right? There are things that look really good in the moment. Sometimes it feels like the easiest thing is absolutely the best thing to do, and that's what I want to do now. Or sometimes it's easy to just be short-sighted and to live in the moment, to do what feels good right now, to do what looks good right now, to do what everybody else is doing right now. But what Jesus is saying is it's not about being short-sighted and doing the now thing. Jesus is saying there's going to come a day when the storms will come, when the rivers will rage, the waters will rise, and you have to do the thing that will last then, not just what looks good now. A couple examples, right? Jesus teaches about generosity versus greed. Greed looks good in the moment. It feels good in the moment. All right, but generosity is something that lasts. It lasts beyond the moment. Generosity is something that can withstand the storms. Jesus talks about lust versus love, right? A selfish lust in the moment, it looks good in the now, but it doesn't last when the storms come, right? It's only a selfless love that can withstand the test of time, that can withstand the storms of life, right? Lots and lots of examples like that. And what Jesus is saying is it's not the thought that counts when it comes to following me, right? You have to do the things that I say in order to get the benefit of the life that I offer. You have to do the things that I say in order to get the benefit of the life that I offer. There are a lot of people in the world who hear the words of Jesus, but they don't do them. I think there's probably three different categories. And all of us at some time or another in life, we probably fall into one of these three different categories in terms of how we respond to the words of Jesus. The first category of people are people who simply don't care. Right? There are people who simply don't care. You hear the words of Jesus, but you don't care. You don't care about what Jesus says, right? There are a lot of ideologies in our culture. There are a lot of teachings in our culture. There are a lot of ways of living and ways of thinking that simply don't take into account anything that Jesus cares about or says or does, right? There are a lot of people who simply don't care. If you flip over in the gospel a couple pages later in Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells the parable of the sower, and he says, the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a farmer who went out to sow some seed, right? And as he spread the seed out on the ground, some of it fell on hard soil and it was eaten up. Some of it fell on rocky soil and it couldn't take root. Some of it fell in thorny soil and it got choked out. And only a portion of it fell onto good soil. And it's just that seed that was able to grow. Jesus says some people just aren't going to care. Right? There's a whole category of people who simply don't care what Jesus says. Second category of people is people who care about what Jesus says, But they don't actually know what Jesus says. Right? Some of us care about what Jesus says, but we don't actually know what Jesus says. And here's what I would say. You can't follow Jesus unless you know what he says. It's not possible to follow Jesus unless you know what he actually says. There are a lot of statements in our culture that sound kind of Jesus-like. God helps those who help themselves. Right? That sounds pretty good. Jesus didn't say that. Give a man a fish and he can eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he can eat for a lifetime. Right? It's not that it's a bad principle. It's just not something that Jesus ever said. And so a lot of us care very deeply about the love of Jesus. We want to do what's right. We want to be pleasing to God, but we don't actually spend any time learning and reading to be able to hear and to see what Jesus actually said. It's not possible. It's not possible to be a follower of Jesus without spending time interacting with the words of Jesus. Right? If you want to follow Jesus, if you want the life that Jesus offers, it's not just by osmosis that you get there. You have to intentionally spend time regularly reading the words of Jesus, interacting with the words of Jesus, learning the words of Jesus. It's not enough just to care. You have to actually know. That's the second category of people. First category is people who don't care. Second category of people is people who care, but they don't know. The third category of people that Jesus is talking about here is the people who know, but they don't do. You know what Jesus says. You care about what Jesus says. But there's a disconnect between what you know and what you do. There's a disconnect in your life between what you talk about and how you live. And Jesus says, even that person, the person who knows all of his words, the person who can recite all of his teachings, if he or she doesn't live that out, they are like a person who built their house on the sand, and it won't last. In the gospel, or in the New Testament book of James, chapter 2, James writes this, and he says this. He says, even demons believe. Even demons believe in the words of God. But the difference is they don't enact them in their lives. Perfect example this week, and I'm not trying to weigh in to the controversy. I'm not trying to make a statement about what happened, but I feel like this is something that's front of mind for many of us this week from the Oscars on Sunday night. All right, I've actually always really liked and respected Will Smith, and it was difficult for me to watch what happened in the Oscars on Sunday night. But it's a classic example, I think, in that moment, I know he apologized later in the week, and man, all of us have done things that we regret. I have done so many things that I regret, so this is not in any way meant to be judgment, but what happened is in a moment, he stood up and he struck another man on national worldwide television, and then a few minutes later, when he won his Oscar, in his speech, he said, I believe that God is calling me to be a person of love. I believe that God is calling me to be a river of love. And in that moment, what I noticed was there was a disconnect. There was a disconnect between what he knew. God's calling me to be a person of love. God's calling me to be a river of love. And what he actually did in that moment. And what Jesus is saying is, it's not enough to know my words. You have to actually do them. You have to put them into practice. 16 years ago, coming up this October, Amanda and I went on a trip to Italy. And it was one of those trips, I've told y'all about that before. It was a trip where we had no business going. We spent all of our monies, all of them. And I think we even spent more than what we had to go on that trip. We don't regret it. We wouldn't necessarily advise it, but we don't regret it. Anyway, nearing the end of our trip, we had a night in Venice. It was absolutely incredible. We're walking around Venice during the day. The sun was starting to set, and we looked for the address of our hotel, and we realized we couldn't find it. We tried to find our hotel, but we couldn't find it. Now, there's another story from earlier in the trip where we'd already, after midnight one night, had a lot of trouble finding where we were supposed to be staying, and we didn't want to replicate that again. And so we walked around, we had the address, but we couldn't find it. So finally we found this Italian man and we asked him for help, and he said this, I'll never forget it. He said, "Go down this road. When you come to the end, left. When you come to the end, again, left. When you come to the end, again, left. And then, when you can no more left, right. And there your hotel will be. When you can no more left, right. And there your hotel will be." And suddenly, just in hearing his words, magically our hotel materialized right in front of our eyes. And we were there. And it was amazing. No, that's not actually what happened, right? We heard his directions, but then we had to follow the path that he laid out in front of us in order to get where we were trying to go. Right? It's not the thought that counts. It's not the thought that counts. If you want to enact the beautiful things of Jesus in your life, you have to follow the path that Jesus puts out in front of you. If you want to experience the things that Jesus has for you in life, if you want to experience the things that he described and the picture that he painted, a picture of love, a picture of provision, a picture of satisfaction. If you want to experience that, if you want to experience laughter in your weeping and joy in your sorrow, if you want to experience love, if you want to experience forgiveness, if you want to experience the good fruit in life that Jesus offers, it's not the thought that counts. You have to actually follow the path that Jesus puts out in front of you. Heard somebody say before that your life is perfectly designed to give you the results that you're currently getting. Your life is perfectly designed to get the results that you're currently getting. Think about your relationships, your closest relationships in life, your friendships, your romantic relationships, your marriage. They're currently designed, perfectly designed to give you the results that you're currently getting. All right, if you're a parent, think about your relationship with your kids. Think about your parenting, right? Your parenting is perfectly designed to give you the results that you're currently getting. Your relationship with your parents as a kid, your relationship with your parents, it's perfectly designed right now to get the results that you're currently getting. Your faith is perfectly designed to give you the results that you're currently getting. Right? And if you want to make a change, if you want that to change, you have to change the pathway and the direction that you're going. It's not the thought that counts. It's not the thought that counts. Andy Stanley wrote a book called The Principle of the Path. And the premise of The Principle of the Path is this. He says, it's your direction, not your intention, that determines your destination. It's your direction, not your intention, that determines your destination. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not about what you think. It's not about what you know. It's not about what you agree with. Right? It's about who and what you follow. It's about what you do that determines the trajectory of your life. So I want to invite you today. It's a simple invitation. It's a simple invitation. I want to invite you to follow Jesus. I want to invite you to follow Jesus with your life. Right? Not just to think about Jesus. Not just to interact with Jesus from time to time. Not just to learn more and more about Jesus, although I do want to invite you to do that. But I want to invite you right now to make a commitment to follow Jesus with your life. Some of you have never made that commitment before. You've never made a commitment like that, that you really want to step out in faith and begin to follow Jesus faithfully with your life. That's you. I want to pray for you. I'd actually like to help you and encourage you. I'd encourage you to email me if you're just here online and you want to make that commitment. Email me, Travis@thevillagenashville.com, so I can be praying specifically for you. But I want to invite you, if that's your first time, I want to invite you, if that's something that you made a commitment to do yesterday and you need to re-up that commitment today, I want to invite you to do that. If it's a commitment that you've made in the past and you need to re-up on that and make it again and recommit yourself to do that, I want to invite you to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Because here's what he says, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. I want your life to be like a well-built house on the rock, to experience the things that Jesus offers, to experience the life that Jesus offers. And I know the only way to do that is to follow him more closely. So I want to pray for us today. Would you pray with me wherever you are? God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for who he is. Thank you for all he's done. And thank you for the invitation that he gives to every single one of us, not just to hear his words, but to put them into practice. God, today help us to step over that starting line. Maybe for the first time. Maybe for the first time in a long time. Maybe it's just the first time today, but we need to do it again. Help us to cross over that starting line of faith and to say again, I want to follow you, Jesus, wherever it is that you go. So God, help us to hear your words today and help us to put them into practice. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.